Don't pass out now. The book of Leviticus. Say, oh no, we showed up on Tuesday night and we're looking in Leviticus. But I've got something I want to give to you. And I think it's going to be a help to us. All the Bible's good. There's some parts you try to read through and you go, man, I feel like I'm beating my head against the floor. But all the Word of God is important and we're thankful for it in these days. All right, Leviticus chapter number 7. And we'd sing a song. I don't know if singing a song would help us tonight. Let's just go right to the Word of God and we'll see what the Lord does for us. Leviticus 7, if you want to stand, willing and able, we invite you to do so. Leviticus chapter 7, just a few verses. And amen. Verse number 11, the Bible said, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer unto the Lord. Notice verse number 12, if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil in a fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings, the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. And we'll leave off our reading there. Heavenly Father, help us now as we study the Word of God, preach it to your people. Lord, encourage our hearts. Remind us, Lord, of this great responsibility to be thankful. We'll thank you for what you do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. According to verse number 11, as we've read it tonight in our hearing, these verses are centered around some instruction concerning what the Word of God under the old economy says is the peace offering. Of course, in the opening chapters of the book of Leviticus, we understand that there are several offerings that are announced, several offerings that are commanded by God to be brought by the children of Israel. And all of these spake of the worship and of the people of God, and more importantly, testified of the greater sacrifice and offering that would come, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter number 3 of Leviticus, you'll find the instructions that are given at large concerning the offering that's in our text tonight, the peace offering. And we'll not look there tonight. I don't want to bog down there this evening, but if you'll consider the peace offering and the purpose of it, it was to be brought as an offering into fellowship with God at his table. The peace offering testified that a man was entering into fellowship with God at his table. And the reason we believe that of all the offerings, this is the one where the priest and the offerer would actually sit down and eat this offering together. And so it testifies to you and I of a reconciliation and a fellowship and a communion that we have with the Lord, can have with the Lord, through this matter of the peace offering. Of course, Christ is pictured in this, in that ultimately our communion and fellowship with God is brought together by the Lord Jesus Christ and the offering that he makes at Calvary. When you study this offering, you'll find that the peace offering was made after that one's sins had been forgiven. And you couldn't offer the peace offering until your sins had been forgiven, till there had been a trespass offering or a sin offering that had made a ritualistic atonement for the sins that one had committed. And so upon that forgiveness, there is the peace offering that emphasizes that fellowship with God is the result of forgiveness. And we understand that's taught throughout the New Testament and even in our dispensation of time that if we're going to have fellowship with God, sin's got to be dealt with, forgiveness has got to be experienced, and then we can walk in the light as God is in the light and have fellowship not only with Him, but communion with the people of God as well. God won't commune with us in our sin, but if we confess and forsake it, we have peace with the Lord. And when we think about the peace offering, I believe that is what it testifies to you and I about. Now, when we come to Leviticus 7, it seems to give two motivations that spring on this matter of the peace offering, namely that in our text that we want to deal with tonight is the giving of thanks, verses 12 through 15. And verses 16 through 21, we're not bogged down in that, but you'll find the making of vows is another motivation that would bring on the peace offering. And so there is forgiveness that is extended for the sins that one has committed. And this leads to the fact that one has become thankful and that he wants to express this matter of communion and fellowship with the Lord in the matter of giving thanks. And so the peace offering could be offered as what verse number 12 said, is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. This is not isolated, this text. You'll look at in Psalm 107, which is really where I was going to go this evening, and yet I got bogged down. I'll probably deal with it Sunday morning, and you'll just have to come back. It's awesome. It's amazing how the Lord put all that together. But Psalm 107, and even in the New Testament in Hebrews 13, we're commanded that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise by giving thanks to God with our lips. And so this matter, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, it is something I believe that anchors back in Leviticus 7 and verse number 12 in the matter of the peace offering, teaching us much about what real thanksgiving is. And so all this week, our minds are on thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, we come in the month of November, and our minds go to Thanksgiving's coming. Turkeys are going to be cooked. Hams are going to be baked. Amen. All the spread is going to be laid out on the table. We're going to gather with family or friends, and we're going to have this matter of national Thanksgiving. And yet, we ought to be, I believe Brother Mike prayed this here just a little while ago, that we have no problem with a day or a week of Thanksgiving, but we as the people of God, I believe we'll see in the text tonight, ought to be thankful every day. Every day we ought to be thankful. And we have so much to give God thanks for. And so what would that thanks look like? Somebody said, well, I'm thankful. Well, amen, if God were to view your thanks, would God, amen, look at it as it were thankfulness? I believe the sacrifice of thanksgiving is a wonderful picture about what real thanksgiving is and what it ought to look like. And so we want to preach simply tonight, amen, on the theme of thanks and deal with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'll give you three things quickly and I'll be done tonight. Number one, thanksgiving. We learned here in this sacrifice that thanksgiving must be purposeful. Thanksgiving must be purposeful. Look at the first word in our text in verse number 12, where the Bible said, this is the Lord speaking now, if he offer it for a thanksgiving. And so I wrote this down. This offering is conditioned upon an if. If implies an awareness of what one has received and now is decisively moved to thank God for it. And so the condition is laid out that a man has received forgiveness of sin, reconciled to God, walking in fellowship and communion. He looks around and notices that God has been good to him. and that God has blessed him. Why, what in the world can this man do to reciprocate the blessings that he has received from the Lord? The Lord said, if a man reaches that point, amen, he can purposefully give God thanks that God is deserving of. And so I believe tonight that if we're going to give thanks, amen, we've got to understand it must be purposeful. Amen, I must be of a purposeful intent. You see, if, the word if removes the thought of accidentally thanking the Lord and shows a purposeful intent. And so tonight, if we're to be thankful, we'll have to do it on purpose. Amen, we have to do it on purpose. There will be no if until one has known the reality of being made right with God. Amen. Again, the peace offering cannot be given, amen, by vow or by thanks until one, amen, has entered into the realness and the reality of forgiveness. Relationship has been restored. One has been made right with God. And so my thought would be tonight, if you're right with God and I'm right with God, then there will be thanksgiving, amen, expressed to the Lord, or there at least ought to be. And so the if, amen, would you give God thanks tonight? Amen, have you purposefully gotten on your knees and said, Lord, you have been better to me than I deserve. I do not deserve to be right with you. I do not deserve anything from your hand. And purposefully began to thank God for all the things that he has done in our life. Thanksgiving must be purposeful. Number two, thanksgiving must be prepared. Thanksgiving must be prepared. As with all sacrifices and the offerings there, our preparations, it must be made for this thanksgiving. And so the Lord said, if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so the indication here is simply this, that there are some instructions that the Lord is going to give. And these instructions, I think, speak of the nature of what the Lord is looking for our thanks indeed to be. And if we're going to give thanks, there's some things we can learn here tonight about preparing our heart, preparing our life, preparing our prayers, preparing our thoughts and our minds, amen, in the matter of what the Lord is looking for our thanks to be. And so let me give you five things right here real quickly about thanksgiving must be prepared. Brother A.L., I see the substance of our thanks. When we read verses 12 and 13 to you, I would point out to your remembrance tonight and cause you to settle in upon the fact that when this thanksgiving was made, wafers, cakes, and bread were to be brought. Think about that. Wafers, cakes, and bread. I see in this, in the wafer, I see something that is small. When we think about small, in fact, the word wafer simply means a thin cake. And then you have a cake. You think about a cake, amen, that would be a larger item than that of a wafer. And then you come into verse number 13, and the Lord said, by the way, amen, while you're bringing your wafers and your cakes, amen, with this matter of thanksgiving, you have to bring a whole loaf of unleavened bread. Amen, and so there are wafers, there are cakes, and there are bread that must be brought. And so here's how the Lord put it together in my heart, from the smallest, that is the wafers, to the greatest, that is the loaf of bread, all God's mercies on us and toward us should provoke our thanksgiving. Amen. From the greatest of things to the smallest of things, we have much to be thankful for. Amen. You say, well, preacher, the Lord has only done some small things in my life today. Amen. Those small things are greater than what you deserve. And my friend, whether it be wafers or loaf-sized blessings of bread, amen, we ought to come to the Lord to say, thank you, my friend, for the mercies of the Lord. And so the substance of our thanks, notice the saturation of our thanks in verse 12. Amen, I've noted this and I kind of looked at this. I wasn't sure at first, but here's how the Lord put it in my heart. He said about the matter, these wafers and these cakes and these matters that are being brought, he said they are to be presented, mingled, and anointed with oil. And oil, of course, in the Word of God, most of the time is a type of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the Lord and our relationship to Him. And so here's how I wrote it down. One's relationship to the Spirit is absolutely essential in thanksgiving. Amen. Spirit-led and Spirit-filled thankfulness. Amen. Or may we say a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled life always leads to thanksgiving. Amen. And so there ought to be a saturation of the Spirit upon our life. A saturation where we have the joy of the Holy Ghost that is moving you and I to be thankful to the Lord. Amen. Have you ever thought you're operating in the flesh and you think, well, man, and you get feeling sorry for yourself, I ain't got nothing to be thankful for. But ain't it amazing when we're Spirit-filled and Spirit-led, the Holy Ghost reminds us, amen, of all the blessings that God has put upon our life. Amen. You can't keep a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led child of God, amen, from being thankful. And so, amen, there is to be an oil of the Holy Ghost upon our life. Amen. Saturating all our thoughts, all our meditations. Amen. All our gratitude. And from that will flow a heart of thankfulness. Amen. That the Lord will receive our thanks. Number three. Amen. Thanks must be prepared. I notice the savoriness of our thanks. Amen. You like this. Y'all are good Southern people here tonight. Amen. Notice that the unleavened cakes and wafers, the Lord said, were to be fried along with the baking of leavened bread. And that's interesting to me tonight, Brother Mike, because this is one of the rare instances where the Lord allows leaven to be brought into an offering or a presentation to the Lord. Amen. Most of the time, leaven is to be excluded. In fact, even in this offering, there is the bringing of unleavened cakes and unleavened wafers. But they are to be fried. And then he says, why you add it? Amen. Why you add it? Bring some of them leavened loaves of bread. Amen. You say, preacher, what does that speak of? Amen. Well, you'll just have to agree with me tonight. Amen. That fried and unleavened bread are always better tasting than unleavened bread is. Amen. Anything's better than fried. Amen. Somebody say amen now tonight. That's something to be thankful for. Amen. Fried bread. Fried. Amen. You can go down the fair and you'll find fried Oreos and fried Twinkies and fried Snicker bars. And amen. Everything's just better, it seems like, when it's fried. Amen. And so the Lord is saying, amen, bring it unleavened, unleavened cakes, unleavened bread. And then the leavened bread just deals with the matter of yeast and the matter of, amen, it brings a flavor to something that unleavened bread would not have but were it not fried. And so I thought about this, that fried and unleavened bread, my friend, being better tasting, speak of the freshness and the joy that need to be in our thanks. Amen. We don't just come to God and say, well, Lord, thank you for this, and just kind of casually throw it out. But it ought to be fresh. There ought to be a freshness to it and a joy upon it. Amen. As we give it to the Lord. The Bible will speak of the peace offering and many places as the Lord would expound upon it in Leviticus chapter number 3. The Lord said, this is for a savor unto the Lord. Amen. A sweet smelling savor, a sweet savor to the Lord. Amen. But if there's no freshness in our thanks and no joy and rejoicing in our thanks, my friend, that's not the thanks the Lord is looking for. Amen. Have you ever done something for somebody and they gave you, they just kind of give you a little casual pat on the back and it wasn't really real in their heart. And you understood that, amen, that it just wasn't all it was. But then, amen, there are other times you do something for somebody and they just go on and on about it and you see the gleam in their eye and you can just identify there's something passionate about them expressing their gratitude. Amen. The Lord is saying, let your thanks be hot. Amen. Let it be fresh. Let it be joy filled. Amen. Get excited about what God has done and the privilege you have just simply to say, Lord, thank you for, amen, your goodness in my life. Amen. What is this thanks to be prepared? How's it to be prepared? What does it look like? Notice the showing of our thanks in verse 14. The Bible said, and of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And just one thought out of verse number 14 here, the showing of our thanks. Amen. It involved in this sacrifice of thanksgiving is said to be an heave offering. This would be known in other places of the Word of God as the wave offering. And so you have the heave offering or the wave offering. Heave here literally means rally. It means to present. And was done when you study the heave or the wave offering, it was done by lifting the hand and waving the bread. Amen. It would be a symbol or an action similar to this right here. Amen. Amen. And I'll not get into all the heave offering and all that was expressed in it. But literally the Lord said in this matter of peace offering being given as a sacrifice of thanksgiving, they were to use their hands as an expression of their thanksgiving. And what's interesting about that, and I've given this before, and it is simply this, that the word thanksgiving itself literally means an extension of the hand. An extension of the hand. And so the Lord says, amen, in the sacrifice of thanksgiving, amen, I want you to use your hands to express your thanks. Amen. And so, amen, there is, I wrote it down this way, I put it this way in my notes just thinking about it. That lifting the hand of the Lord is sign language for I'm thankful. Amen, I'm thankful. When the choir gets up and sings, or we're singing congregations as so many do around here, they'll lift their hand, amen, to some line of a song that has bore witness with their spirit in that moment. And by doing that, they are sign languaging to the Lord, I am thankful. Amen. When they begin to meditate, when you begin to pray and you get overwhelmed pondering upon the blessings of the Lord and your hands go up to the Lord, that is sign language to the Lord. And is saying, I am thankful. Amen. That is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We're not only, amen, speaking our thanks, but we show it in action, amen, by lifting our hands to the Lord. And so the showing of our thanks, but then notice with me the steadfastness of our thanks in verse number 15. The steadfastness of our thanks in the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. You say, preacher, what do you mean the steadfastness of our thanks? This sacrifice was to be consumed in a single day. Now, the peace offering, remember there's two motivations that you can bring a peace offering. Amen. Three, the primarily being that of communion with the Lord, but you can do it motivated by a vow or motivated by simply wanting to tell the Lord thank you. Now, what's interesting is when you study the peace offering motivated by the giving of a vow, but Joe, the offerer was given 2 days to eat of it, and on the third day, the remainder of it had to be placed upon the fire and burned again to the Lord. But when it comes to the matter of the sacrifice of thanksgiving, God said, amen, the day that you bring it and the day that it is offered, you have only that day, amen, to give that and to consume it and to offer it. And so the thanks offering, if we'll think about it in those terms, the thanks offering was only good for the day that it was offered. Amen. It spoiled after a day. And so whatever they're thanking God for that day, they have to thank God in that day. Amen. This teaches us that our thanks should be a daily discipline. It ought to be a daily discipline in our life. Thank Him, amen, for all that you can today. And then when you're done, do it again tomorrow. Amen. The Lord is saying this is daily. This is a daily matter that if you're going to do it every day. Amen. Don't wait till tomorrow, amen, to thank God for what He's done today. Be steadfast in our thanksgiving. That's why, and I think it's wonderful. I think it's a great thing that our country has set aside a day of thanksgiving. And this crowd that tries to rewrite history and say, well, America was never a God-fearing country, never acknowledged God, and always had this great wall of separation of church and state whereby God can't even be acknowledged. Amen. Even in our federal holidays, amen, there is an acknowledgement, amen, in the time of Thanksgiving that, amen, in our past, there was a generation that understood, amen, we only reap harvest because of what God has done for us. Amen. And so they set aside a day whereby the nation could reflect and just simply meditate and express thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. And I think that's a wonderful thing. But children of God ought to be steadfast every day. Amen. This ain't the last Thursday of the month in November thing for you and I every year. Amen. This is 365 days out of the year. Amen. We thank God and we ought to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Amen. Leaving nothing that we can thank Him for today to tomorrow. Amen. Because God says, I want your sacrifice of thanksgiving to be a steadfast thing in your life. Amen. We ought to express it. Amen. We ought to express it by preparing it and preparing ourselves daily to give God the thanks that He deserves. And so thanksgiving, we see in the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and it must be purposeful and it must be prepared. And then let me say this tonight, and it's kind of enlarging on it, and I'll be done in about 2 minutes, but the thanksgiving must be personal. Thanksgiving must be personal. You say, where do you get this? Look down further in Leviticus chapter number 7, and there's going to be some further enlarging instructions about that of this matter, the peace offering that is attached to the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We'll look in verse 28, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offering unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. Now notice verse number 30, his own hands shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast, and it shall he bring, that the breast may be weighed for a wave offering before the Lord. And so I believe this brings us back to the matter of the peace offering with thanksgiving. And the Lord said, when this is done, how is he to bring it? But Jesse, he is to bring it with his own hands. He is to bring it with his own hands. So many of the offerings and the sacrifices that would be brought under the Levitical law the one bringing that would bring that to the outer gate, show it to the priest, and then the priest would make his way with that offering to the place that it was to be presented to the Lord, oftentimes at the brazen altar. But the Lord said, in the matter of this peace offering being given as a sacrifice of thanksgiving, amen, the priest is not to bring that on behalf of the offer, but the offer is to bring it with his own hands. Amen. And so the peace offering, no matter the motivation, it had to be brought by the offer's own hands. No one could do it for them. It was personal. Amen. It was personal. I thought about this in the matter of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and the matter of the hands being involved in that. And the Lord said this is why he's got to bring it with his own hands. And with his own hands, he offers the wave offering to the Lord. Amen. And here's what I thought about, Brother Tim. We can raise our hands with others in this matter, but we cannot raise our hands for others in this matter. I'm not to let other people try to do my thinking for me. Amen. I'm not to let others do the worship and the thanksgiving that ought to be mine to give to God. I can't bank on Brother Johnny lifting his hand tonight and say, well, he done it, and so that gets us all by. No. Amen. It is a personal matter. It is a personal thanksgiving, must be personal. And so we'll end tonight just asking the question, when is the last time with your own hands you thank the Lord? Amen. You say, preacher, you do it every service. And so I come here. That's why I come here, because I got a preacher that lifts his hands and thanks God. Amen. Well, I wouldn't have a preacher. I wouldn't have a pastor that didn't. Amen. But you got to reach a place where you realize it's got to be personal. It's got to be personal. Personally, on a daily basis. Amen, in your own private time, and then when it's been personal to you in the secret place between you and God, you know what you'll do? You'll come in the public place and you'll do the same. Amen. And so it must be personal. And so the sacrifice of thanksgiving, what a lesson, what lessons we learn. And I know that that's pretty quick, I think. I ain't kept time, but I feel like that's pretty fast. Now let me explain to you where we're going to go from here, and I don't have time to do it tonight, but in Psalm 107, several times the psalmist says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his mercy and his goodness and his works toward the children of men. Oh, that men would praise him. Oh, that men would praise him. And then in Psalm 107, after one of those statements, he said, and that they would sacrifice with the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And then he goes right into talking about those who sail the seas and, Brother Tim, the deep waters. And the psalmist says, they have known the wonders of the Lord. They're the ones that have gone through the storms. They're the ones that have seen some things that only those that sail can see. And he goes in to talk about how when you're sailing those seas, when you get in the storms, your heart begins to reel to and fro. You feel like you're at wit's end, and you call on God, and God comes through and stills the storm. And you come out on the other side thanking God and praising God. Amen. So if you'll come back Sunday morning, I'll do a better job. I'll do a better job than I have tonight, I promise. I want to preach on thanking God through the tempest. There's a reason the psalmist said in Psalm 107, amen, about that crowd, that they ought to thank God. Amen. Has God brought you through any storms? Amen. There's a lot of things we ought to thank God for, and I can run through all the Word of God. We'll settle on it on Sunday morning. Amen, them storms that God has brought us through. What do we have to be thankful for about the tempests in our life? All right? Amen. The sacrifice of thanksgiving must be purposeful, must be prepared, and then it must be personal. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the word of the Lord. Thank you this evening for, Lord, this tucked away, Lord, in a most unusual place. Thank you tonight, Lord, that, Lord, it teaches us, Lord, of our own responsibility, this spiritual privilege and yet a discipline and a responsibility that we have, Lord, to be thankful to our God and, Lord, for the hand of our God that has bestowed such great things. Lord, we acknowledge tonight, as James, Lord, reminded us, Lord, that every good gift and every perfect gift has come down from above. Lord, has come upon our life from the hand of our God. And for this, Lord, we're thankful. We acknowledge that this evening. I pray this evening, Lord, you continue to be good to us. Not that you owe us anything, not that we've merited or deserve anything. But Lord, we would say tonight, we can't make it without the blessings of God upon our life. And so Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray you bless the church family remainder this week. Lord, some will be moving around different locations and be with a lot of family and friends and different folk. I pray that you bless all their time together. May their fellowship be sweet. May it be centered upon the goodness of God. Lord, I pray we come in on the Lord's Day, Lord, here in a few days, ready, Lord, to worship you again and again. We'll thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.